All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I like how my brother kept us in the Bible. That was beautiful. Because his words, my words, really doesn't mean a whole lot. But when we're dealing with the Word of God, you can see it with your own eyes. So we're going to read some solemn words. And as my brother said, it's not a fun topic to speak about sin and punishment, but it's part of the gospel. I want you to notice verse number 41, Matthew 25, verse 41. And here's what we read. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting. That's the word I want you to think on. Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you'll notice how carefully that's worded. It does not say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for you and for the devil and for his angels. When God made hell and when God made the lake of fire, he did not have you in mind. That was never God's intention. It was made the moment Satan fell from heaven with his angels. That was the original purpose of hell and the lake of fire. It's very clear. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. Come back to the Word of God. I want you to notice verse number 46. Once again, we have this thought again, but another added thought. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. So we read about everlasting fire in verse 41. Verse 46, everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now that word eternal, even though it's a different word in English, it's the same word as everlasting. So everlasting fire, and then we have life everlasting. So we all know this. This is very simple. Eternal punishment, eternal life. Just want you to bear that in mind for just a few minutes. Now let's go over to Luke. Luke chapter 16, another very solemn part of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus once again is the speaker, and these are his words. And he tells us about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man was not saved, was not a Christian. The poor man was a Christian. And I want you to notice verse 19, just to kind of get into the story a bit. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously, just lived very splendidly, very richly every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, please notice this. And it came to pass that the beggar died. How many people at that point would go, oh, isn't that too bad? Anybody do that? Don't do that. The man went to heaven. Well, I want to show you something else, though. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. Do you know how kind God is? God allowed a Christian to die before a sinner. Why? God gave the rich man another opportunity to consider life after death. He brought a Christian right to his gate. And the man probably got used to this man at his gate. And God could have easily, ah, so sick and tired of this rich man. Tired of this sinner. I brought a Christian right to his door and he's not listening. And in grace, God allowed the Christian to die first. You know, death is the loudest preacher you'll ever hear. Death takes people that are close to you. Death takes all kinds of people, all different ages, from all different parts of the world. You know why? God is trying to speak to you. He wants it to be a voice that wakes you up. So kind. Anyways, we read the rest of the story. Verse 23. So the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cries. I don't want to go too much into the story, but I think you know what he wants, a drop of water. And he says in verse number 24 at the end, for I am tormented in this flame. And then Abraham from heaven has some words for him. And then go down to verse number 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify, that he may preach earnestly unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I just want you to think of that. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Once again, keep in mind, we're reading the Word of God. Chapter 19, sorry. Revelation 19. I want you to notice we're coming to the end of the seven-year tribulation. The great battle of Armageddon hasn't happened yet. And I want you to notice verse 20 of Revelation 19. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Listen to these words. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then we come into chapter 20. I want you to notice verse number 11. Verse 10 of chapter 20. We go ahead quite a bit in time, 1,000 years. The devil has been bound. The Lord Jesus is reigning upon the earth. Now we go to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Listen, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And that's something. Here are two individuals cast into the lake of fire. And there's 1,000 years goes by. And now it comes time for the devil to be put into the lake of fire. And we find out that those two people are still there. The fire hasn't consumed them. That's solemn. That's the word of God. Now, this is you and I. Look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, you maybe you're sitting there and you say, wow, I picked just the wrong night to come to a gospel meeting. That is really depressing. That is depressing. It's very real. Why is this on my mind? A couple of weeks ago, I had to go to a funeral with my wife. She knew the individual that passed away. Praise the Lord, she was a believer. It was a large funeral, lots of people. We were way up on the balcony. Place was jam-packed. There was a man that was given the instructions to preach the gospel, like we're trying to do tonight. And generally speaking, being a preacher myself, you know, I'm listening carefully to him, and I'm judging his message, thinking about it. Mentioned believing a lot of times. Mentioned being saved a lot of times. Mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Check, check, check. Wonderful. Mentioned heaven a lot of times. Never mentioned the word hell once. Never mentioned judgment once. Never mentioned that you're going to suffer for your sins once. Do you want to know the statement he used half a dozen times? You will be separated from God forever. So I start to think about that. You'll be heaven or separated from God forever. So as he was preaching, I was watching individuals. And I was trying to put myself in their shoes. Have they ever heard this before? How's this hitting them? How are they taking this in? Did they know this person? Or are they thinking about heaven being separated from God forever? All of a sudden in my mind, I thought, what if a person in the audience was an atheist? That's a person who doesn't believe in God. That's a person who lives their life with no knowledge of God. I don't care about God. I want nothing to do with God. And all of a sudden they hear, you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be separated from God forever. Well, my life is pretty good separated from God. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't even think God exists. What's the big deal about heaven? See my point? Do you know what is, this is the age we're living in. This is the 21st century where we want to be so careful. We don't want to offend. We don't want anyone getting upset. My dear friend, listen to me. Listen to me. If you never acknowledge you're wrong, as we've been hearing, if you never have a moment in your life when you turn to the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you will die in your sins and you will be tormented forever in a real fire forever. It's no minor thing. Oh, I won't enjoy God anymore. No, no. That's what makes the Bible so unique. Nobody would ever write things that we have read. And if it didn't come from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, I wouldn't dare stand up and wouldn't dare read it. Because it sounds so beyond our minds. It's beyond our minds to comprehend. There are people that woke up today and they died and they're in a real place of torment. Like we live in a world where we have somebody's dying. We're thankful for the medical things that we have. We have a place in Charlottetown, palliative care. And when you check in, go in there, you generally don't come out. And whatever you might be dying with, and if there's pain involved, if there's anxiety of mind involved, if there's any kind of nerve issues, do you know what they do? They're just increasing the pain medication. They just keep making you high. You don't feel no pain. Medication only works up to that point. and then the soul and the spirit drop into a real place of torment. There's no medication in hell. There's no adaptation to pain in hell. You see how serious this is? It's not something that we often preach this way. It's just not. And I just thought of that audience, and I thought of all these people, whether they knew this woman or not. What a wonderful opportunity, yes, to tell people about a God that loves them. That wonderful. Yes, tell them about the story of the Lord Jesus coming from heaven and dying on a cross at Calvary for our sin. Yes, tell the people that. And the fact that he went into death and 3 days later he rose from the dead. Yes, and there's a real living Savior and he wants to save you. He would love to save you. But there's a real place called hell. And that's only the beginning. If I understand my Bible correctly, this place here, hell, is a little bit better than this place here. You would say, now why would you ever say that? What I learned from the Bible is this. When a person dies in their sins, they're only here, soul and spirit. That's a high level of suffering. When they stand before the great white throne, God has actually went throughout the world and collected their body and brought it back together. He takes the soul and spirit out of hell and he places it back inside of your body that you sinned in against God. And then he takes all of that and he casts it into the lake of fire. And then we read about two individuals. They were cast alive into the lake of fire. Oh, certainly the fire is going to destroy them. Throw anything into a fire. We're used to that. Oh, look at that load of garbage. We're just going to burn it. Dear friend, listen to me. This Bible, I find it amazing that the Lord Jesus, of all the writers and all the preachers that come across the pages of Scripture, do you realize that the Lord Jesus in the New Testament spoke more about hell than any other preacher? Probably because he's the only one that could comprehend it. I can't. I'm trying to be very measured here tonight. I'm trying to be very soft. I want to be truthful with you. I want you to understand. If this whole meeting tonight was about joining the gospel hall in O'Leary, oh, your life won't be just quite as fulfilled if you don't. Big deal. There's lots of people that don't even go to a church building on Sunday and their lives are fine. That's not what we're talking about. Oh, if this meeting tonight was about just bringing a little bit of religion that will bring a little bit of moral, proper living so that the person next door would just love to bake you a plate of cookies. You're such a lovely neighbor, and what a lovely value, an added value to the community. Wonderful. If that's all this meeting was about. No. We're talking about something, heaven forever or hell forever. Joy forever. Literal suffering forever. So, friend, are you saved? Just as my brother has said, that's why it's a wonderful thing to be saved. That's why it's a wonderful thing beyond membership in the O'Leary Gospel Hall or any gospel hall or any chapel or Baptist or whatever it might be. Isn't it a wonderful thing just to know the Lord Jesus is your personal Savior. He died for me, my sin, so that I will never, never have to be here. That's a tremendous thing. I discovered that at the age of 24. There I was, just on the road to hell, just didn't know how to change it. Tried to believe it. Tried to figure out what believing was. And you know what made the whole difference? I remember it was the first time in my life when I just simply told God, He's right. You're right. I'm a sinner. Wow. Right there, Jesus Christ died for your sins. What a moment. What a revelation. I agree with my brother 100%. It's a real thing to know I will be in heaven when I die. Real thing to look at this chart taken from the Bible and know, we say 110%. Oh, you can't get better than 100%. But just to know 100% based on the Word of God, I will never be here. What about you? So you might say, well, what else is this? Why is this on your mind again? Listen to this. I was in a gospel hall somewhere. And this older man was in the meeting. Going to get worse. And he comes up to me. And you know what? You always got to watch out for people when they're about to talk to you. And they look around. And I saw him look around. And he goes, now he says, I don't say this to too many people. And right there I should have said, stop! He says, I'm starting to think. He was reading the writings of some philosopher. Big mistake. I'm starting to think that there's no such thing as eternal punishment. My eyes blinked, blink, blink. You talk about a deer in the headlights. What? Now I believe we're going to be in heaven forever. Oh yeah, believe in everlasting life. I just don't know if God, do you really think that God's character, a God of love, would actually allow sinners to suffer eternally? That's why I read in Matthew 25, I took him to the Bible. Now I said, let's just look at the very same word. Everlasting, eternal life. Eternal punishment. It's the same word. Now, if I accept everlasting life as lasting forever, I said, what would ever make you think that eternal everlasting punishment doesn't last forever? But he kind of stopped for a minute. Good. That's the word of God. I know it doesn't make sense. I'll admit to you, I'm talking about this from the Bible, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, even deep down inside of here, you know, it seems kind of extreme, doesn't it? Really, God, like we're talking active, eternal suffering. Really? Well, you see, what that shows me is this. I have no understanding of what the Son of God endured on Calvary when he suffered not just for 6 hours. That's what we miss. Oh, it was 6 hours on our clock. But when you come to the Word of God, you discover that it was infinite suffering. There was no depth to it. That shows us that he's an infinite being. It had to be God. If the Lord Jesus wasn't God of eternity, the wrath of God would have destroyed him, taken his life, annihilated him. That's the importance of just who the Lord Jesus is. This is why this is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life. We're not talking about just some man that's better than other men. What is being brought before you tonight, dear friend, is this: God's unique Son. You'll never meet another person like him. There's not another Savior around behind him if you don't like him. There is only one provision that God has provided. Thank God, God loves us, and the love of God and the grace of God has provided a Savior. It's tremendous. That's why my heart is encouraged as I listen to my younger brother. And there's a young man that God maybe will do a lot with. I'm looking at other individuals. There's generations of people, and they need to hear this message. They don't need to hear only, God loves you. Everything's going to be okay. God loves you. Just believe, 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 believe. Our brother took us to James. Do you understand that there are demons? And they know who God is. They know the power that God has. And you know the effect upon them? They just shake. But you know the problem is? They're not going to acknowledge they're wrong. They're never going to come back to God and say, I'm a sinner. I have done wrong against you. No. But they know. They know that this is prepared for them. And they know that God has the power to put them in there. Luke chapter 16. Generally speaking, a rich person thinks a lot about themselves. That's how they get rich. It's all about them, my stuff. Do you notice what the rich man was thinking about in hell? He wasn't thinking about himself anymore. Listen, God, he says, I got 5 brothers back home. I want someone to go and speak to them because I don't want them coming into this place of torment. Do you understand? I don't know every single person here tonight, but you know what I know from the Bible? Do you have a relative that has died, not saved? They're in hell praying for you right now. Don't come here. Don't come here. Think of that sad case in Charlottetown of that 12-year-old girl. Like, it's just, isn't it wonderful? I never met her. I know some of the people in Charlottetown did from the youth group and that, and the children's stuff and that. You know, as soon as I heard that her parents went to a Christian church, right away it just brought a little level of hope. Maybe the girl was saved. I don't know. Maybe she was. Don't know. I want to think about you, friend. You. That girl never woke up in the morning thinking that she'd be out in God's eternity. That's not the way we think. It's not the way we go to bed at night. Ooh, I could be in eternity tomorrow. No. It's always an accident. This is why it's so important to be ready, not playing around with it. Oh, yeah, I'll get lots of time, God. I'll get saved when I'm older. No. I want you to think now. This thing is forever. It's eternal. Conscious, active suffering. Yes, it involves being separated from God. True. But there's this side of it that we need to tell people about. So, dear friend, I'm going to let you go home early. Thank you very much for listening. I trust that as a result of what our brother and myself have said, maybe tonight would be the night that you acknowledged your sin and you turn to the Lord Jesus and just simply put your faith in him, you would be saved, as we clearly heard. Thank you for listening. We'll pray. Father, we bless thee again for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We think of these solemn truths that we have spoken about tonight. Our minds, we have to be honest, our minds, our human minds just cannot comprehend these things. We're thankful that they're written in the Word of God, and they came right from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And we can go back nearly 2,000 years, and we can read it right here in the Bible. We're so thankful for ever warning us, for ever bringing the gospel to fall upon our ears. So those that are not saved in the meeting, what a wonderful night if they were to discover that and they would just simply call out to thee for salvation. Take us safely home, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.